So we're here for our Nature Connection chat, and it's a bit colder now, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful, eh? I was sleeping outside last night, and it was a bit chilly, just in a blanket, but it's, I love it. I love this turn of seasons. And the twinkling stars, I don't know if you noticed them the last few nights, even just the streetlights in town from Hills Road, where I live.
They're twinkling.
Beautiful.
Why are they twinkling? It's an atmospheric thing. Let's not get into that.
That's a science thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's air moving around, different temperatures of air.
So today, Rob's just told me he wants to talk about places. What do you mean place? What about places do you want to talk about?
Well, I talk a lot about what I do in places, but I thought I'd share some of those places, some of my favourite local spots.
Yeah.
We're pretty lucky here. I've just been the reserve above the beach this morning, and it's an amazing place we live. It really is sometimes. I have these moments of realisation, like, wow, we're so lucky here. The mountain, the beach, the oceans, it's amazing.
What was it like where you grew up?
A very industrial city.
Yep.
That skyline with Victorian mill chimneys and dark and gloomy. So yeah, the backdrop of that in a comparison, Raglan is definitely like heaven.
Yeah. Big difference. Yeah.
But on Carrioy alone, there's a few tracks, there's a few walking tracks, but there's a lot of trap lines and hunters tracks as well.
Yeah.
And there's some really, really magical places on Carrioy. And even further afield, I was in the bush last week, 4 days, and I don't actually know the name of the bush, but you access it from Karakariki on the other side of the Divi.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big area of bush from the Divi, the Wainaro, Narawahi. That's quite a big area of some really old bush. There's some few big trees, which would be way over 1,000 years in there, some Rimu and Kahikatea.
Right. Original bush then.
Yeah, and there's not many tracks there. There's lots of streams and lots of ridges. And if you explore a little bit and get deep in there, it is as magical as you could ever find a place. It really is.
Do you go... I was just thinking about you talking about like the tracks that have been cut for trap lines and things like that.
Mm.
Are you recommending people go off the main tracks, or how do we handle that?
I don't want to send anyone into a... I don't want to get anyone lost. But I do... When you do go off a track, or rather if you stay on a track, it's quite easy to just switch off your awareness and just follow, like a train follows the tram lines, the tracks, and not be fully present, which sometimes is great, and it's what people need, to just switch off and have a relax and wander. But in terms of sort of nature connection, which is more around, having awareness and building relationship and, really being present in where you are, I find being off track, you have to, it's like you'll get lost or... end up somewhere difficult with lots of vines or something if you're not paying attention. So most of the time I'm going off track because I guess the time I'm in the bush is my intention is to really learn from the bush, and by navigating, almost getting lost, if you like, and finding a way around and finding the patterns of where things grow. And
so how do you make sure you don't end up in a place where there's lots of vines? Can you see it coming? Are there signs, I guess?
Yeah, it's very complex. What you do is when you're walking around and you see a place where there's lots of vines, what you do is you don't go there and you go to what we call a different place.
I thought you might just suddenly, it would build up and you'd realise you've made a mistake.
Yeah, no, there's patterns, but the thing, as I'm journeying and learning more and more is that nothing in nature is black and white. There is always a reason, there is always a story, but it's not a book of rules that always apply.
Yeah.
So it's,
But there must be certain places that the vines thrive.
Yeah, darker places. I notice in Carrioy, especially around the slopes here, usually when you see vines, you see Niko and Kohikohi trees.
Yeah.
They seem to have quite a strong relationship. And I think, Kohikohi trees don't grow as tall as some of the other ones, but they grow quite wide and dense. They've got really big leaves. So they create a lot of shade. So the top of the Kohikohi tree will usually be sunlight, and the vines, that's what they're reaching for.
Okay.
So I guess over millions of years, they've sort of learnt that koi koi trees are a good friend, a good ally of theirs. Mm. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know. I'm never going to go into the bush and think that I understand it all, and I've learned all there is to learn ever, you know, because nature's far bigger than I am, and it always will be, and that's part of the appeal to me.
What's something that surprised you, because you've been doing this for a long time now, that maybe there's something that you've learned in recent times that surprised you, that you, can you access something
like
that?
Last week I had 4 days, 4 days and 4 nights in the bush. It was beautiful. I had such a great time. And one of the nights, which was the second night, one thing which I really learned last week was that it's really, really hard to find somewhere to sleep in the bush. You know, if I don't carry a sleeping bag. You know, it would be easy if I had a sleeping bag and I could just, you know, anywhere would be fine because I'd be warm. But because I don't, and I need, I need a heat source, I usually need some water, or ideally some water. I need some ferns or something dry like that to lie on, and I need, you know, a bit of space to do all that without hurting anything or removing anything. And when you're in the dense bush, that is really, really, really hard. Mm. Almost impossible. Like, there's very few spots. So that was a good realization, I think.
Did you find somewhere to sleep each time?
Generally, like, it's a, it's getting dark, this will do scenario. I didn't really find, like, this is amazing, this is perfect, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you could spend your whole time looking for those things, but, you know.
So it's a bit of a belief or value of yours that not to clear a place.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of my story, I guess, is learning how to be in the bush in a way which does no harm or very minimal harm. Or even better, helps the bush, and learning how to do that again. Because I used to think that, back in the day, human beings pre-agricultural revolution were so connected and they'd really learn how to live in balance with their surroundings. But after listening to a book that says pretty much throughout history, anywhere humans have gone, they've been followed by mass extinctions.
Right.
Kind of crushed that image for me a little bit. But I feel there's a way, and I feel it's important that we learn that way again. Obviously there's a lot less bush in the world right now. I think it is part of who we are. I think there's a lot of research telling us that and saying we should be out in nature a lot more, and especially kids should be out in nature a lot more. But in our current state, if we all did that, I think we'd destroy nature in quite a big way. So I'm trying to learn how to walk really gently and quietly.
So if suddenly this weekend all 5 million New Zealanders decided they want to go for a walk in the forest.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm often hearing people saying, if the world all turns to custard, I'm just going to go bush.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's like people say that to me. I guess they know me as a bushman. But that worries me because
we're not. That's not where our skills are. Our skills, and as a culture, our skills. We can find anything in a mall.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what we're really. That's what we're tuned to. We could find our way around a town.
Even with those skills, the bush doesn't have those skills too. Even if we are sort of being careful, there's not enough. Especially the New Zealand bush, which hasn't grown up with humans in it since very recently, so there's a very early relationship that we've got. It's going to take a while to get to know us, and if all of a sudden it's inundated by humans, that's good. It takes thousands and thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of years for those relationships to build and to find balance. So I guess, you know, I'm on that journey to learn how to do that as best I can, and when I'm working with the kids, that's what I'm passing on more than anything, really. That's sort of what I want to pass on to them.
Is that why the New Zealand bush has a real, I'm trying to think of a word, like a primeval feel?
Because of the lack of humans?
Because it hasn't had a relationship with humans for very long. It feels like a very raw kind of place compared to, it's like I've gone into forests much overseas, but
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if compared to England, England's a lot more of an open forest. Really different trees of different shapes, not as high, you know, broader. I've been in the bit of the jungles of East Asia, Southeast Asia, and that, I wouldn't say that's dissimilar to New Zealand, with the feel and the density and the vines and the difficulty to navigate it. But yeah, it's pretty hilly as well, which is quite a big challenge, especially for navigation in New Zealand.
Well, that's where the remaining natural forest is, because all the flat stuff we used.
Yeah. But if I bring it back to some of my favourite places, there's a few tracks on the western side of Kerioi, just past Whale Bay. There's a few streams with tracks along them you can go up. It's a place I call the Pūrere Village, which has sort of 5-6 giant Pūrere. Really, really huge. You know, probably 5 or 6 people holding hands to get around the trunk of them. And it's quite a sight. It's quite a place to be. As I said, that unknown to me, unnamed bit of bush just north of the Divi. Really magical, really mature, old, really quiet. A lot of mammals there as well. I think some people go hunting. There's goats and pigs and deer around, which I really love to be around. They're great teachers. And the Bridal Veil Falls pocket of bush as well. It's quite a magical place.
This is a very little one.
Little, but I mean, you could easily get lost.
Do you feel like? Oh, you could. Yeah. Just go downhill, though, wouldn't you, if you got lost in there?
Well, easy to say.
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting here in a town. Like
it is for sure. Eventually, you would, you know, get to that mainstream. But you could end up going down quite a few hills.
But can you always hear like the surf or the cars from within that pocket of bush?
No, there's when you're in bush, you're going to be on every direction. You know, you're going to be facing and you're going to be sheltered from every direction at some point. And you know, and the wind's going to blow from every direction as well. You know, even if you know today it's blowing a gentle easterly breeze. If you're in the bush because of the contact with the land and, you know, the hills and the shapes,
yeah,
it's going to blow west, it's going to blow south, it's going to blow north.
Especially there, you're in the lee of the mountain, so...
So with that, sound's going to be bouncing around all over the place and get mixed and get lost. And, you know, anywhere near a stream, you won't hear anything but a stream anyway.
Yeah.
But because it's small as well, you know, you can definitely get the feel like, you know, you're deep, deep in the bush. Around there, around Bridal Veil Falls, but I guess with the safety that it is only, you know, maybe a couple of square kilometers of area,
yeah,
and you can just get out the car and in 30 seconds, you know, lose the road and get the feeling that
you're. There's not a lot of actual cars on that road anyway. So I've momentarily, I don't know, I asked a stupid question. I momentarily in my head I thought it was a different pocket of bush. So
okay,
that's why I asked about the surf.
Okay, yeah.
I was thinking of something else. Yeah.
But I guess a big message I like to share as well is really the best place to be in nature. You know, everyone's got different reasons, you know, enjoys a walk for why, you know, they enjoy it, why it benefits them. But the nature right in front of you right now is probably, of all of these, as beautiful as the place might be, I'd say the most important and the most beneficial for you to give importance to.
So the Phoenix Palms.
Yeah.
That's what I can see out the window.
There's heaps. There's, you probably can't see from where you're sat, but on top of the, you know, the buildings where the hemp shop is and the skate shop, that new building, there's about a dozen seagulls sat on the roof of there right now.
Okay, I've got a couple on Bow Street Gallery out my window.
Are they facing east?
They just took off. They were facing us.
They're facing us.
But there was only saw them for a second. They're just moving around.
All of the seagulls on top of that, the building I mentioned, they're all facing the same direction, and I keep noticing this, and they always seem to face into the wind.
Oh yes, keep their feathers in order.
Could be, or rather, to
stop the wind from blowing up their feathers. And
could be, but you know, these things are in front of us all the time, and you know, we don't usually notice them. About, you know, 100 people have walked down Bow Street this morning. But even in the middle of Raglan, there's nature, and there's things to observe, and there's things to appreciate.
Nature
and to feel. And
nature is very, far more apparent in, for us in this town than maybe other places, because we can always, usually always see the mountain. I can see the hills across the harbour or the inlet from here.
Yeah, pretty lucky. Yeah. One of the favourite authors that I've been reading is an English guy, Tristan Gooley. I think I mentioned him before, but his story is from a young age. He's, you know, he's an adventurer who's flew solo around the world and sailed solo around the world, and was one of the first people to do that, and just always on these big, quite extreme adventures.
Yeah.
And then later on in life, he sort of questioned him, like, why? What is it about these adventures? What is it I'm actually looking for in this?
Yeah.
And he realized, well, what I'm actually looking for is in my backyard. You know, it's these little things that I didn't need to do, all, you know, these big adventures, big journeys. I didn't need to go around the world because it's right in front of me all the time. And then he spent the last sort of 20 years sharing his observations of the magic he's seen on his backyard and his doorstep and in his local woods and even in his local town. And just seeing the world through those eyes and through that perspective, and you really can be anywhere to do it, just adds such a richness to your life.
What do you do if you're in back in your old town where you grew up and it's surrounded by Victorian chimney pots and, or no, what do you call them? Factory smokestacks.
Yeah, mills, old mills.
Old mills, yeah.
Well, I guess same as anywhere. Like, there's no place where there isn't life. You know, everything and everywhere is an ecosystem. I've been learning about fungi recently, and apparently there's more microbes in our bodies, you know, sort of alien cells, than there is our own cells in our bodies. You know, we are an ecosystem ourselves, and
yeah,
no doubt this microphone and the mouse on the table, you know, obviously not things you're going to see, but nature encompasses every little part of the universe. And you know, if you sort of see the world through those eyes and start noticing things, even humans, you know, just the way that a human moves might give you a story. It can be interesting, you know. It's a way people sort of train for tracking, you know, watching how wide someone's step is or how they're moving, or, you know, you can see, oh, they've got an injury in their leg, or they're moving fast, or their body language can give you an idea of how they're feeling in that moment. And same with every single animal that you're going to see. You know, the body language is probably more important than the verbal language. And the trees and every plant, even the little weeds growing in the cracks in the pavement, you know, everything's got a story. And if it was a David Attenborough documentary talking about the amazingness of the weed in the crack in the pavement, you know, you'd
you could,
like,
just see him waxing lyrical.
Wow, you know, I never knew that. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And it always is. You know, when you look into these things and get their story, it always is amazing.
So where's your... I was going to say, where's your favourite place? Do you have a favourite place? Or a current favourite place?
Current favourite place. I really like finding new places.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I'm not in the bush every day and, you know, busy family life. Taking those moments, I try and make the most of them, and I find if I'm somewhere that I don't really know, I learn and I get a bit more from that experience. At the moment, the last year, I've been practicing a lot of natural navigation, so that really helps to be somewhere that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
So you really get the feeling of being lost. But again, I'm on that journey of everywhere being my favourite place, and it's not.
And
an
that's
easy,
the point.
It's the point, and it's not easy, and it's taken me a long time, and it's. You know, it's going to be a lifetime's journey, really, to really fully embody that. But I think, you know, it's the prospect of living life with every place that you are in every moment, being like the best place on earth. I want that.
So you just had 4 days, you said?
Yep, 4 days, somewhere. 4 nights.
So do you feel yourself, well, we call this segment, and you call what you do Nature Connection, do you feel yourself, the change in yourself, staying in the bush for 4 days? And you might have been really busy before that with the family and all, the, you know.
Yeah, definitely a luxury to sort of have that time. You know, and I guess for me it's in the bush, but everyone else probably relates to that in their own way, you know, just that me time, which always feels good, and it's not always easy to get, but just to do what you love doing and be in your happy place, you know, doesn't matter what it is, it's always gonna help you to feel good. But I always feel, yeah, definitely sort of understanding, not always in a way that I can explain, but you know, deepening. And sometimes it's things that I've realized, like, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, something about that tree. Sometimes it's letting go of something that I thought to be true. It often happens a lot, you know, an idea, something that I've decided is like, oh, this happens in the bush, or that's the thing. And then the bush teaches me, like, no, you know, it's not black and white like that. That's not actually something you can rely on. So there's a lot of letting go as well, as part of my journey. And finding comfort. I think I was probably the most comfortable I've been this time.
Yeah.
You know, I slept pretty well every night. And I guess in reflection, that's, you know, that's something I can sort of feel, I guess, I don't know, maybe proud, but, you know, it's a good marker that I can spend 4 days in the bush without bringing much in.
Were you comfortable because you found a comfortable place, or because you've got better at being comfortable?
I think just because of my skill set.
Yeah.
You know, creates a lot more comfort for me as I'm learning and making more mistakes. I'm spending the more time I spend being uncomfortable.
What's the skill set? Is the skill set identifying places, or is the skill set, was it this and doing a little bit of work to make it comfortable?
Both. And both and more. The last night I had in the bush, you know, I set up a camp, you know, which was sort of a pile of ferns, and I got a few stones from down the stream and made a little bed for a fire to go on to burn through the night. But once I was in bed, I could hear some large mammals really close to me.
Yeah.
One to the north side and one to the east side of me. And the mammals, you know, generally they won't sleep in the same place. You know, it's very much, they know the best places to sleep, and they've got a few areas that they might go. But it's depending on, you know, the winds and the temperatures and a lot of, you know, elements of nature.
Yeah.
So when I'm in a spot and I'm joined by a lot of mammals, I feel good, because it's like, ah, cool. I must have got a good spot here. I must have done well, because they're here. It's like when I lived in Bradford, there was a guy called Magic Mike. And whatever gig was on in town, he'd always be at a gig every night. He's an old fella. But he'd always be at the best gig in town. So if you're at a gig and you see he's around, you knew it was going to be a good gig. It's like, oh, I've chosen wisely here.
What was his skill set, I wonder?
just like 7 days a week, he'd be out watching music. And he was in his 60s. So I guess just...
It's a lifetime of building.
Yeah, when you
skill.
Do something a lot, you get good at it. You know, no matter what it is, I think
we're getting into that territory. We kind of run out of time, but we're getting into that territory of there's factual information we know, and there's skills we pick up, and then there's just somehow we just pick it up in the wind, and it's just our brain is absorbing information and processing it and delivering us an answer, and we're not really aware of it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's really, especially with the kids as well, that's really what I'm trying to access. Like you say, there's information, and information's great. You know, it's, you know, helps us to keep being passionate. It helps us to be the master of the field of the things we're passionate in, you know, experts in what we love doing. As a society, it tends to, you know, we're viewed in higher regard if we have that more information. It's seen as a valuable thing. But the deeper things, you know, it doesn't necessarily change who you are as a person. Having information.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't practice it, you might lose it a bit. You know, I could show you a knot and you could tie it now, but if you didn't tie it again for 10 years, you might struggle, because it's just that information. But there's these deeper things which you know, maybe it's harder and it might take longer to sort of access, but it does fundamentally change who you are and how you live your life as a person. And that's really what I'm working. That's why we call it deep nature connection work.
And
it's, you know, it's a slower journey and it's at a depth, and it's, sometimes it's hard to see. It's hard to see results, and it's not as much in your face, and it's hard to be recognized by other people and honored sometimes by people seeing that, because culturally it's not as valuable as information in some ways.
I can imagine some people saying, oh, so Rob's worked out a place to sleep in the bush where the mammals, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. But just that, you know, so there's things which change how you feel day to day as well, like in a good way, and change how you experience the world in a good way. And, you know, if we make those changes to ourselves, then, you know, our health, our well-being, our happiness and our relationships, you know, really supports and helps those all to prosper as well.
Hello. I presume people can hear the dog that's been barking occasionally through the interview.
Yeah, whilst I'm being interviewed here, I'm strangling a dog to let out my frustration about things.
Somebody is. well, the dog's acting like it's happening. Hey, folks, I've been talking to Rob from Nature Connection. Do you, we're in orange zone, orange colour restrictions now. Does that mean you're doing classes or anything at the moment?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Small groups, and I'm outside.
You're doing, like, the kids' classes. You got anything for adults coming up on a weekend or anything like that?
I'm going to do an overnight. I haven't got a date yet, but we're going to do, like, an overnight for adults and for families.
Yeah.
I guess primitive skills camp up to Hutuwai. And getting into winter season, I'll be running my conscious bushcraft workshops again. So look out for posters and adverts on Facebook for that.
Okay, cool. All right, thanks for coming in.
Cheers, Aaron.
All right, folks, that is the end of the show for the day. I'm going to leave you with the auto DJ and go and see how that dog's doing.